Welcome back to Reading the Psalms. I'm Dan, and I'm going to read Psalm 78 today. Psalm 78 has the heading Maskil of Asaph. Give ear, O my people, to my law. Incline your ears to the words of my mouth. I will open my mouth in a parable. I will utter dark sayings of old, which have been heard and known, and our fathers have told us. We will not hide them from their children, telling to the generation to come the praises of the Lord and his strength and his wondrous works that he has done. For he established a testimony in Jacob and appointed a law in Israel, which he commanded our fathers, that they should make them known to their children, that to the generation to come might know them, even the children which should be born, who should arise and tell them to their children, that they might set their hope in God and not forget the works of God, but keep his commandments, and might not be as their fathers, a stubborn and rebellious generation, a generation that set not their heart aright, and whose spirit was not steadfast with God. The children of Ephraim, being armed and carrying bows, turned back in the day of battle. They kept not the covenant of God and refused to walk in his law, and they forgot his doings and his wondrous works that he had showed them. Marvelous things did he in the sight of their fathers, in the land of Egypt and in the field of Zoan. He clave the sea and caused them to pass through, and made the waters to stand as an heap. In the daytime also he led them with a cloud, and all the night with the light of fire. He clave the rocks in the wilderness and gave them to drink abundantly, as out of the depths. He brought streams also out of the rock, and caused waters to run down like rivers. Yet went they on still to sin against him, to rebel against the Most High in the desert. And they tempted God in their heart by asking meat for their lust. Yea, they spoke against God. They said, Can God prepare a table in the wilderness? Behold, he smote the rock, and waters gushed out, and the streams overflowed. Can he give bread also? Will he provide flesh for his people? Therefore the Lord heard and was wroth, and a fire was kindled against Jacob, and an anger also went up against Israel, because they believed not in God, and trusted not in his salvation. Yet he commanded the skies above, and opened the doors of heaven, and he rained down manna upon them to eat, and gave them the corn of heaven. Man did eat the bread of the mighty. He sent them meat to the full. He caused the east wind to blow in the heaven, and by his power he guided the south wind. He rained flesh upon them as the dust, and winged fowl as the sand of the seas. He let it fall in the midst of their camp, round about their habitations. So they did eat, and were filled, well filled, and he gave them that they lusted after. They were not estranged for their lust, their meat was yet in their mouths, when the anger of God went up against them, and slew the fattest of them, and smote down the young men of Israel. For all this they sinned still, and believed not in his wondrous works. Therefore their days did he consume in vanity, and their years in terror, when he slew them, and they inquired after him, and they returned and sought God early, and they remembered that God was their rock, and the Most High their Redeemer. But they flattered him with their mouth, and lied unto him with their tongue, for their heart was not right with him, neither were they faithful in his covenant. But he, being full of compassion, forgave their iniquity and destroyed them not. Yea, many a time turned he his anger away, and did not stir up all his wrath. And he remembered that they were but flesh, a wind that passes away and comes not again. How oft did they rebel against him in the wilderness and grieve him in the desert? And they turned again and tempted God and provoked the Holy One of Israel and remembered not his hand, nor the day when he redeemed them from the adversary. How he set his signs in Egypt and his wonders in the field of Zoan, and turned their rivers into blood, and their streams that they could not drink. He sent among them swarms of flies which devoured them, and frogs which destroyed them. He gave also their increase to the caterpillar, and their labor unto the locust. He destroyed their vines with hail, and gave their sycamore trees with frost. He gave over their cattle also with hail, and their flocks to the hot thunderbolts. He cast upon them the fierceness of his anger, wrath, and indignation, and trouble, a band of angels of evil. He made a path for his anger, and spared not their soul from death, but gave their life over to the pestilence, and smote all the firstborn of Egypt, the chief of their strength in the tents of Ham. But he led forth his own people like sheep, and guided them in the wilderness like a flock. He led them safely, so that they feared not. But the sea overwhelmed their enemies, and he broke them to the border of his sanctuary, and he brought them to the border of his sanctuary, to his mountain, which his right hand had purchased. He drove out the nations also before them, and allotted them for an inheritance by line, and made the tribes of Israel to dwell in their tents. Yet they tempted and rebelled against Most High God, and kept not his testimonies, and turned back and dealt treacherously like their fathers. They were turned aside like a deceitful bow, for they provoked him to anger with their high places, and moved him to jealousy with their graven images. When God heard this, he was wroth, and greatly abhorred Israel, so that he forsook the tabernacle of Shiloh, the tent which he placed among men, and delivered his strength into captivity and his glory into the adversary's hand. He gave his people also over unto the sword, and was wroth with his inheritance. Fire devoured their young men, and their maidens had no marriage song. Their priests fell by the sword, and their widows made no lamentation. Then the Lord awaked as one out of sleep, like a mighty man that shouts by reason of wine, and he smote his adversaries backward. He put them to a perpetual reproach. Moreover, he refused the tent of Joseph, and chose not the tribe of Ephraim, but chose the tribe of Judah, the Mount Zion, which he loved. And he built a sanctuary like the heights, like the earth which he had established forever. He chose David also his servant, and took him from the sheepfolds. From following the ewes that give suck, he brought him to feed Jacob his people, Israel his inheritance. So he fed them according to the integrity of his heart. He guided them by the skillfulness of his hands. This great psalm is the very middle of Asaph's collection. And not only is it longer than all the others, but it is also a thematic departure from the rest. The previous four psalms dealt largely with Asaph's feelings and difficulties that he had with the wicked and the iniquitous. They attacked and hurt Asaph, and he wanted God to step in and act. This psalm is full of God's activity, like the others, but the problem in the psalm is Israel's own sin. The problem isn't from without, but from within, as we read this psalm. Verses 7 and 8 help establish the message of the psalm. Asaph wants to help make sure that Israel does not forget God's works and to keep them from the rebellion of their fathers. The rest of the psalm tells the story of that rebellion. Time and time again, verse after verse, Israel behaves carelessly with the Lord and his laws. They rebel, tempt, and speak against God. They do not believe nor trust in his salvation. Even when they receive gifts from their good father, they lust for more. And this is a revealing part of the psalm. Not only is it full of their bad behavior, but it is full of God's good behavior. He feeds and nourishes, saves and delivers, leads and helps his people. And yet, seemingly at every opportunity, they turn against him. Why is this psalm placed where it is in the middle of the Psalms of Asaph? Asaph wrote it, but why is it here in the middle? Why is it the central psalm to what Asaph writes? Surely the enemy was still out there causing trouble. Surely Asaph still had plenty of troubles outside that he needed to be afraid of. Why do you think Asaph, in the midst of that great calamity, takes the time to write such a long poem about God and his own disobedient children? What does its placement and its message teach you? Let's read it again. Give ear, O my people, to my law. Incline your ears to the words of my mouth. I will open my mouth in a parable. I will utter dark sayings of old, which we have heard and known, and our fathers have told us. We will not hide them from their children, telling to the generation to come the praises of the Lord and his strength and his wondrous works that he has done. For he established a testimony in Jacob, and appointed a law in Israel, which he commanded our fathers, that they should make them known to their children, that the generation to come might know them, even the children which should be born, who should arise and tell them to their children, so that they might set their hope in God, and not forget the works of God, but keep his commandments, and might not be as their fathers, a stubborn and rebellious generation, a generation that set not their heart aright, and whose spirit was not steadfast with God. The children of Ephraim, being armed and carrying bows, turned back in the day of battle. They kept not covenant of God and refused to walk in his law, and they forgot his doings and his wondrous works that he had showed them. Marvelous things did he in the sight of their fathers in the land of Egypt, in the field of Zoan. He clave the sea and caused them to pass through, and made the waters to stand as an heap. In the daytime also he led them with a cloud, and all night with the light of fire. He clave the rocks in the wilderness and gave them drink abundantly as out of the depths. He brought the streams also out of the rock and caused waters to run down like rivers. Yet went they on to still to sin against him, to rebel against the Most High in the desert. And they tempted God in their heart by asking meat for their lust. Yea, they spake against God. They said, Can God prepare a table in the wilderness? Behold, he smote the rock, and the waters gushed out, and streams overflowed. Can he give bread also? Will he provide flesh for his people? Therefore the Lord heard and was wroth, and a fire was kindled against Jacob, and anger also went up against Israel, because they believed not in God, and trusted not in his salvation. And yet he commanded the skies above, and opened the doors of heaven, and rained down manna upon them to eat, and gave them of the corn of heaven. Man did eat the bread of the mighty. He sent them the meat to the full. He caused the east wind to blow in the heaven, and by his power he guided the south wind. He rained flesh also upon them as the dust, and winged fowl as the sand of the seas, and he let it fall in the midst of their camp, round about their habitations. So they did eat and were filled, and he gave them that they lusted after. They were not estranged from their lust. Their meat was yet in their mouths, when the anger of God went up against them, and slew the fattest of them, and smote down the young men of Israel. For all this they sinned still, and believed not in his wondrous works. Therefore their days did he consume in vanity, and their years in terror. When he slew them, then they inquired after him, and they returned and sought God early, and they remembered that God was their rock, and the Most High God their Redeemer. But they flattered him with their mouth, and lied unto him with their tongue, for their heart was not right with him, neither were they faithful in his covenant. But he, being full of compassion, forgave their iniquity, and destroyed them not. Yea, many a time turned he his anger away, and did not stir up all his wrath. And he remembered that they were but flesh, a wind that passeth away and comes not again. How oft did they rebel against him in the wilderness, and grieve him in the desert? And they turned again and tempted God, and provoked the Holy One of Israel. They remembered not his hand, nor the day when he redeemed them from the sanctuary. How he set his signs in Egypt, and his wonders in the field of Zoan, and turned their rivers into blood, and their streams that they could not drink. He sent among them swarms of flies, which devoured them, and frogs, which destroyed them. He gave also their increase unto the caterpillar, and their labor unto the locust. He destroyed their vines with hail, and their sycamore trees with frost. He gave over their cattle also to the hail, and their flocks to the hot thunderbolts. He cast upon them the fierceness of his anger, wrath and indignation and trouble, and a band of angels of evil. He made a path for his anger, and spared not their soul from death, but gave their life over to the pestilence, and smote all the firstborn of Egypt, the chief of their strength in the tents of Ham. But he led his own people forth like sheep, guided them in the wilderness like a flock, and led them safely, so that they feared not, but the sea overwhelmed their enemies. He brought them to the border of his sanctuary, to his mountain, which his right hand had purchased. He drove out the nations also before them, and allotted them for an inheritance by line, and made the tribes of Israel to dwell in their tents. Yet they tempted and rebelled against the Most High God, and kept not his testimonies, but turned back and dealt treacherously like their fathers. They were turned aside like a deceitful bow, for they provoked him to anger with their high places, and moved him to jealousy with their graven images. When God heard this, he was wroth and greatly abhorred Israel, so that he forsook the tabernacle of Shiloh, the tent which he placed among men, and delivered his strength into captivity and his glory into the adversary's hand. He gave his people over also unto the sword, and was wroth with his inheritance. Fire devoured their young men, and their maidens had no marriage song. Their priests fell by the sword, and their widows made no lamentation. Then the Lord awaked as one out of sleep, like a mighty man that shouts by reason of wine, and he smote his adversaries backward. He put them to a perpetual reproach. Moreover, he refused the tent of Joseph, and chose not the tribe of Ephraim, but chose the tribe of Judah and Mount Zion, which he loved. And he built a sanctuary like the heights, like the earth which he has established forever. He chose David also his servant, and took him from the sheepfolds. From following the ewes that would give suck, he brought him to feed Jacob his people, and Israel his inheritance. So he fed them according to the integrity of his heart, and guided them by the skillfulness of his hands. I like the way the psalm ends by the calling of David out from the sheepfolds into the kingship of Israel. And the last line, after saying that about David, says, "So he fed them according to the integrity of his heart and guided them by the skillfulness of his hand." Is he talking about David? Or is he talking about God? Or if we want to think about Jesus being the son of David and Jesus being our shepherd and king now, is it a prophetic statement about Jesus? What we see in this psalm is the pronouncement that God's people have to be good. We have to obey, we have to heed God's word, and we have to follow along with what he wants. Now, when we are suffering and in trouble, it may be because of our sin, or it may be from any other number of things and problems that are in this world. But just because we are suffering problems that originate from others does not mean that we are allowed to abandon the law of the Lord. If we want to reach out to God for his help, we must also know that we need to reach unto God's law for guidance, and we need to reach unto it in obedience and in humility. I cannot expect God to save one who does not love his law. And so I must be one who seeks to know and who seeks to love God's law. I wonder if that's why Asaph's psalm, this great Psalm 78, is in the middle of his collection of complaints, of troubles and terrors that are coming from without. He is willing to look at the troubles within and to address that as well. Well, thanks for listening in, and I hope to talk with you again soon.